Be very careful how you give yourself a check mark, because I've heard somebody say, humility is that grace that when you know you have it, you've lost it.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. We greet our listeners this happy Christmas season. May each home reached by the sound of our broadcast experience the true joy of the season that can only come with the realization of God's greatest gift, the birth of Emmanuel, our blessed Lord and only Savior, Jesus Christ. Last week, we heard the first part of this message by Pastor Brian Grant, where he built on the critical subject of Christian unity by giving some practical ideas from Scripture that must be recognized and embraced if there is to be any hope of achieving Christian unity in this badly divided world. Pastor Grant showed us from Ephesians 4, verse 4, that we must recognize the reality that the church is one body. Moving to 1 Corinthians 12, we learn how we need each other and that God designed the church to present a different message to this world by its diversity. And as we broke from the message last week, we were hearing Pastor Grant begin to show us, again from Ephesians 4, ways in which God's people must commit to a change in attitude about unity. That's where we pick it up again this evening. So here again is Pastor Grant with the second part of his message entitled, Walk in Unity, Part 2.
But secondly, the scripture here also in chapter 4, it says, with all lowliness and gentleness. The King James uses the word meekness. Point number 2, put in your notes, gentleness or meekness. Meekness is not weakness. It's power under control. Meekness is power under control. In the Greek, the word was used for a colt that had been broken or for a wind that's still. Can you see this colt before he's broken? If anybody tries to sit on this colt, he's going to throw them off. He's going to exercise and display his power. But once this colt is broken, you can put a little child on this colt, because now that he is broken, his power is under control. And God is saying every Christian ought to have that attitude of power under control. And oh, I am, but be honest with you, I've struggled with this. And I wanted to know that in many of these areas, I am not a finished product. And my God, help us to realize we are not finished products. And this morning that we would come to God and admit it, that we're not finished products, and say, God, help me to have a meek spirit. I hear people say, I just tell it like it is. And if they don't like it, that's their problem. You ever hear people act like that? I gave that sister a piece of my mind. Well, I hope you have some mind left after you gave her a piece. But all of these attitudes, we may feel so good. You know, some Christians feel they're very spiritual. But I want you to know, if that's your behavior, you are not spiritual. You may be involved in ministry. You may love to worship and praise God. But listen, if we do not have an attitude that is promoting unity, don't fool yourself into believing you're spiritual, because you're missing one of the things that is of most importance to God. But let me move on quickly for sake of time. But before I go there, let me just leave you with one verse that may help us. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. You can put that in your notes, Colossians 4, 6. Let your conversation be with grace, seasoned with salt. And it's not just talking about your speech. It's talking about your way of life. It says, let your way of life, your speech, be with grace, seasoned with salt. Might we live a life. Listen, God doesn't expect you to be weak, but meekness is power under the control of the Spirit and under the control of my own spirit, where I don't fly off the handle and just blow up. What did we see? Lowliness, meekness. Third, forbearance. In verse 2 of chapter 4, in the New King James, it talks about bearing with one another. And in the Old King James, it says, forbearing one another in love. I like the word forbearance. Forbearance, it's the exercise of patience, long suffering towards those who injure us. Oh my goodness. Did you hear what I said? It's the exercise of long suffering to those who injure us. Some people, they don't even wait to fully understand why you did what you did. They have already written you off. May God help us. I am hoping and I'm praying, God, by your Spirit, that you would touch every heart this morning, that we might recognize we cannot live that way as Christians, that we are destroying what God is trying to accomplish. When I fly off the handle, when I get mad, if you just look at me the wrong way, or if you say the wrong word, or if you do something that I don't like. Forbearance! Forbearance! Some people say, hey, nobody messes with me. Gets away with it. Some of that stuff make you feel so good, make you feel like you're somebody special. But where it really matters, in the courtrooms of heaven, you've gotten a demerit. That's not God's way. And Jesus, everything that we're talking about, Jesus modeled, the one who was meek and lowly in heart. This is the one who forbore. He was on the cross and they were spitting on him. They were putting their finger in his face. And he said, Father, what? Father, forgive them. And he wasn't just talking about the folks there. He was talking about us. And my friend, I want you to know, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you may have said all sort of stuff to him and to people. You may have cussed him. You may have said all sort of nasty things about God. But I want you to know this morning, he's saying, Father, forgive him. Forgive her. And this morning, God, by his Spirit, is willing to save your soul if you would come to him. Amen. Forbearance. Listen, what have we said so far? We must recognize that the church is one body. But secondly, we must commit to a change of attitude. A change of attitude that includes lowliness, that includes meekness, that includes forbearance. But finally, we must make every effort to keep the unity. Look with me at verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. I love we're using different versions. The NIV helps us to understand in a better way for our times what the Greek is saying. And here's how the NIV says. It says, make every effort to keep the unity. Did you hear that? Make every effort. And we each need to ask ourselves this morning, how much effort am I making to keep the unity? Oh, it's easy to blame somebody else. But how much effort are you making? He said, Pastor, you really need to keep the unity. You and them elders, you need to make sure we keep the unity. But he didn't tell me. I'm just one to make sure I'm making every effort. But you got to make every effort as well. Every single Christian needs to be making every effort. You know, I read about a church that split over whether the pianist should sit on the right side of the podium or the left side. I'm not making this up. I read about another church that split over whether the Lord's Supper should be served from the front to the back or from the back to the front. You realize that we Christians are crazy? We crazy. We have allowed Satan to cause us to divide over any and every foolishness. I've known about churches who split over whether it should be bread or it should be matzo. Literally, church split. There was one, some I know split because should it be grape juice or wine? Oh, I can't go to church with people who use grape juice. We have all sorts. And sometimes we feel so spiritual about it. We feel we are being so spiritual. But might God help us that we might make every effort. Can I tell you two areas that we really have to stand guard about? There are so much in the scriptures, but I believe there are two that the Spirit of God put on my heart. And so I want to bring them to you. One, we must fix all unresolved conflicts. We must fix all unresolved conflicts. You say, Pastor, somebody ticked me off and I don't speak to them anymore. When I see them, I go to the other side of the church or I go and hide out in the bathroom. I don't know if this is the right message for radio or not, but I'm just trying to be as practical as I can get. Amen. Do you know Christians do that? So we don't want to fix the problem. And you see, I am good about it because it wasn't my fault. The problem is not my fault. So what does God say you should do? If you're going to make every effort to keep the unity, what should you do? Well, turn to Matthew's Gospel chapter 18, if you don't mind. Matthew's Gospel chapter 18. And let's see what it says here, Matthew 18. Verse 15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Now, sisters, please remember this includes you. Somebody say amen. Did I hear amen? If your brother or sister in Christ sins against you, go and tell him his fault. What does it say? Between who? Help me, somebody. What? Between you and him alone. Oh, help me now. So how come so Sister Jones knows about it? Why are all these other people involved? And so the Bible is saying, if somebody... Oh, and God is talking to you right now, because there, I'm sure in a church of this size, there's got to be somebody who's mad at somebody. Somebody did me something and I am mad. Number one, go and tell him his fault. You said, I've already talked to 25 people about it. Okay. You messed up. So go back to God and say, God, I've already messed up. Forgive me for messing up, but help me to get it right. Amen. So now you're going to get it right. You go to sister, whatever her name is, or brother, whatever, and you tell him, you and him alone. Of course, by the time you've gotten there, you've already had a forgiving spirit. Amen? You went with a forgiving heart. Because you know God wants to forgive, right? So you went with a forgiving spirit. Well, the brother, the sister is adamant. Well, God has another plan. So he says, if he hears you, you've gained your brother. Hallelujah. This is why it's so important we follow the scripture. Somebody has upset you. You tell everybody and then you tell talk to the person. The person repents. But you already have five people who like you who are against the person. And now you're okay with that person. Them other folks still mad at him. Are you realizing this? By the way, this happens in family drama, do you know? Family drama happens that way. We tell every family member about what little this guy did, and everybody's mad. You finally sort it out, but everybody's still mad. If he listens, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, verse number 16, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, Every word may be established. God means what he says, and he says what he means. A brother told me, oh, this doesn't apply. God means what he says, and he says what he means. You go to the person by yourself. If it doesn't work, take one or two more witnesses. And then the Bible says, and if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. My brothers and sisters, I love that you love to tell us all about your problems. Don't come tell me. Do it God's way. We love to run to the church first. We come to the elders. Elders, here's what's going on. Here's what's going on. Solve it for us. You've already missed the steps. You have put us in a bad position. God has a method to solve these problems and to bring unity, and God's way to bring unity. Brother and sister, go to the person who has offended you and get it right. And if they won't hear you, bring somebody else to help sort it out. And if that doesn't solve the problem, then come to us. Amen? We got the steps. Can we make a commitment among ourselves that we're going to do it God's way?
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
But you say, well, you say, Pastor, what about the case where I hear somebody's offended with me? Since they haven't come to me, what do I do about that one? All right, so I've already dealt with, you are offended with somebody else. What about if they are offended with you and you hear about it? Or you sense it? What do you do? You just say, it's not my problem. So you say, Pastor, what would be the biblical thing to do? Well, turn to Matthew's chapter 5. Matthew's Gospel chapter 5, verse 23. Therefore, are you there? If you're there, say amen. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. What an incredible thing. Boy, I hope if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you recognize how Jesus loves good relationships. Amen. Jesus is here speaking in Galilee on the Mount of Beatitudes, and he's talking to these folks, and listen, and he's saying to them, if you have gone to worship God in Jerusalem and you have gone all that distance with your sacrifice, you have joined the line, and now it's your turn. And as you're about to have the priest offer your sacrifice, your lamb, you remember that somebody in Galilee is mad with you. He says, leave the stuff right there. Go back to Galilee, which by the way is over 100 miles. Go back to Galilee, and they didn't have cars. Go back to, fix it, and then come back. Are you starting to understand how serious relationships is to God? And so God is saying to us, those of us who say, well, I don't have a problem with anybody, but if you know somebody has a problem with you, even though they are not courageous enough to obey God, God is saying, because God is making the provision for the case where somebody is lacking courage, he's saying to you who is willing to make a commitment today that, God, I'm willing to do everything I can to keep unity, he's saying to those of us who will be willing to do that today, he's saying, you go to them and try and fix it. We must fix all unresolved conflicts. My brother and sister, let's deal with it. Let's ask for forgiveness where we have sinned and hurt somebody. Let's not, don't allow pride to make you say, I am right. Take the lowly place, amen. Finally, two things I said about making every effort to keep the unity. And the second one is, we must put a stop to all gossip. Gossip is conversation about people that includes details that may not have been confirmed. Did you hear what I said? Gossip is confirmation about people that includes details that may not be confirmed. By the way, gossip is not a Christian. None of the things I've talked about is a problem, is only for a problem for Christians. You realize that? But what God is saying is that we are Christians, we ought to be different. The church is a different people. And so since we are different people, we don't do it the world's way. We do it God's way. No, you know, Christians have a way, a spiritual way of handling gossip. So they call you. Hi, Jane. Did you know that I saw such and such, such and such and such? And then she says, I'm only sharing with you so that you can pray intelligently. Am I right about it? We actually make it like we're doing something spiritual. Oh, I just want you to be able to pray. I know you would want to know so you could pray. Well, you know she ain't praying. She gonna grab the phone. Sue. Oh, bye. I shouldn't have picked on the ladies because men do it too. We spread all of this stuff. It's not confirmed. I assumed. In fact, I got it from somebody else who didn't know the facts either. I read this somewhere. But pay attention to what gossip causes. I break hearts and ruin lives. My victims are helpless. Once I tarnish a reputation, it's never the same. I wreck marriages and ruin careers. I spawn suspicion and generate grief. I make innocent people cry in their pillows. Even my name hisses. I'm gossip. And I want to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, before you repeat a story, ask yourself, do I know if it is true? Secondly, is it fair? Is it fair for me to repeat this story? Is it necessary for me to repeat this story? My friend, if it's not true, and I don't have the certainty it's true, if it's not fair, if it's not necessary, shut up. If you're one of those who gossip, I beg you, repent. And stop. The tallest trees in the world are the California redwoods. The California redwoods grow, some of them, to 370 feet. That's a tall tree. Do you know some of the California redwoods are over 2,000 years old? But what is amazing about these trees, although they can grow to 370 feet, although they're 2,000 years old, they have very shallow roots. You might say, Pastor, how could a tree go that high, live so long, go through storms and hurricanes, go through earthquakes and fire? How could a tree go that long, withstand all that challenge, and live for 2,000 years and have relatively shallow roots? The reason a California redwood can go that tall and withstand all that is because its root system reaches out very far and it intertwines with all the roots in that area. It connects with all the other California redwoods. It's growing high because the California redwood has learned and mastered what it means to be interdependent. It's being held up by all the other California redwoods. Are you with me this morning? It has grown up because it is connected and depending on being held up by the others. And if you and I are to go as high as God wants us to go spiritually, we have got to start mastering what it means to be interdependent. We need to master what it means to walk in unity. Because only when I walk in unity with my brothers and sisters in Christ will I really learn what God has for me, God's plan for me. Only then will I achieve some of the things God has in mind for me. And this morning, God is speaking to every member of GCA, the pastor, the elders, the deacons, and every ministry leader, and everyone who is not involved. God is calling on you this morning to commit to walking in unity. And may God help us that this morning there will be change.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I am a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. You've been listening over the last number of weeks to Pastor Brian Grant's series of messages on the worthy walk the Apostle Paul wrote of in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Copies of all 6 messages are available on CD or DVD for a donation of $20. To order, please call 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. Or reach us online at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. You may also write to us at Germantown Christian Assembly, 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. Please include your full mailing address and be sure to specify CD or DVD. We thank you in advance for your interest. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.